Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. We would all probably agree it is expected, it's considered natural for people to have an interest and concern for members of their family, for their loved ones, and for other people who are near and dear to them. And this is true whether they are near or far away. We're concerned about our neighbors. We're concerned about people we see day by day. We're likely not near as concerned about their spiritual welfare, however, as we ought to be, or we might be doing more toward their conversion to Christ and their spiritual growth. But the Christian does not limit his concern to those he may see and those right around him. Let each one examine himself as he asks, "How concerned am I about those who I do not personally know? Those who I seldom ever see, may never see? Are we really concerned about their spiritual welfare, as well as those near and dear and close to us?" Well, the major point of our lesson is that to be Christ-like, like the early Christians, we must be concerned about all mankind, showing interest in them, whoever they are and wherever they live. Consider what we fondly call the Great Commission in Mark 16 and verse 15. "Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned." In Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen." Friend, was not the Lord concerned for people everywhere? Does he not also charge his people to be similarly concerned? What must he think of his people who are not concerned and who do not show that concern? Consider again the concern of Jesus as seen in the fact that he, by the grace of God, should taste of death for every man, Hebrews 2 and verse 9. Romans 2 and verse 32 tells us that God spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. His concern extends beyond those of immediate acquaintance and association. His interest is not bounded by geographical boundaries. Hebrews 9 and verse 15 teaches that Christ is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first covenant. Christ even showed concern for those who lived prior to his coming to this earth, who lived under former dispensations. The death of Christ was necessary in order for those under Moses' law to be forgiven. The sacrifices made under that earlier system were typical and predictive, a shadow of things to come, pointing to the perfect sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Forgiveness is not possible except by blood. So in his death, we see the Savior's concern for those who lived before his earthly life, those he would never meet, and with whom he would never converse personally as he did with those in Palestine during his earthly ministry. And are there people today, anywhere, in any time in history, for whom the Lord has not been concerned? Notice the letter that Paul wrote to the Christians at Rome. Some with whom he had enjoyed association, but most of whom he had never seen. Beginning with verse 8, "First I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit and the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that ye may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but I was let or hindered hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among the other Gentiles." Notice, Paul said, "I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Now Paul said he never ceased to mention these people in his prayers. He longed for their personal fellowship. He wanted to grant them some spiritual gift, a power that could be bestowed only by apostolic hands. He wanted both them and himself to be comforted together. He wished for fruit among them, a harvest of souls for God. He was therefore ready to preach the gospel to them. And although he had never seen them, with few exceptions, he did not know them, and they were far from him, having only heard about them. He was vitally concerned for them and their soul's welfare. In Colossians chapter 2, the first two verses, Paul wrote, "For I would that ye know what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of the understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ." Now those in Colossae, those in Laodicea, they had never seen Paul. And yet he had a great concern for them. He wanted them to be comforted. Doubtless they were enduring the persecution for the cause of Christ. And he prayed that they would stand united, understanding the mystery or the system of Christ. As in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 28, he said, "Besides those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Friend, was there ever any brother in the Lord for whom Paul was not concerned? Consider Galatians 6 and verse 10 and his concern not only for the spiritual welfare, but even the physical welfare of others. He said, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them that are of the household of faith." On the day of Pentecost, Peter preached the gospel, offering hope and salvation through Jesus Christ. And at the conclusion of his sermon, having given answer to the question, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" and having responded, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit," Peter then said words that showed his personal concern. But more than that, the Lord's intent and concern for people everywhere, and not just those of that day, and not just those of that era, but for all time to come, both Jew and Gentile. And he said in Acts 2 and verse 39, "For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Friend, we cannot but wonder if the church today shows that much concern when huge expenditures are being made for physical and trivial material things, often of luxury and abundance, heaping upon ourselves much goods to the neglect of the work in distant lands of people we do not know. How brethren can bring themselves to take funds given to expand the cause of Christ and use them to provide for themselves playgrounds and gymnasiums and extravagant comforts, and then sing about the needs of the lost? How can eldership spend thousands of dollars in a moment for physical things, such as rugs and cushions and paved lots and comforts, and then have to haggle for weeks on end about a few paltry dollars toward mission work? It is enough to raise the question of our sincerity about our concern. Let some sensational personality who does more entertaining than teaching come into our midst, and we swarm to drink it in, while the hard-working and sacrificing missionary has to beg and plead for a hearing, and then be made to feel like a beggar, even intrusion into the routine of brethren. But friend, the Lord is universally concerned, is he not? Are we truly following his steps if we be otherwise? Shall not we live and teach and pray and go and work and be personally involved in the spreading of the gospel? As suggested, let each examine himself, but let each be concerned and show that concern by the things that we do, not just the words that we speak. Indeed, let us be doers of the word, not hearers only. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.